Hey guys, welcome back to the bonus segment of the Tales of the Trade podcast from Amaya FM. I'm Gaia, producer of Tales of the Trade, and I'll be your host for this segment. In today's episode, we bring you a few interesting extras from our conversation with Scott Chambers, founder and CEO of Surf House Dubai, whose topsy-turvy journey had more twists than O. Henry. But even with the many and sometimes bizarre set of challenges that came his way, Scott's resilience and sheer grit to keep going is something that made a real impression on both Chirag and I long after we finished our conversation. I guess the love for getting back on that board and catching that wave is a force as powerful as the ocean itself. As we worked on this episode, we also reached out to some members of the surf community in the city to understand this all-consuming love for surfing better.
It's very addictive. Surfing is not like any other sport.
This is Mohammed Sultan bin Mishrin, an Emirati surfer who discovered the sport 7 years ago among the waves of California and hasn't looked back since. He echoed Scott's sentiment when it comes to how addictive and soul-gratifying surfing is.
It's pretty pure. It's a beautiful game. It keeps you healthy, makes you want to wake up really early in the morning. Like, there's some days in winter here because of how waves are limited. I would jump in my car, go to the beach before the sun even comes out by like an hour, jump in the water while it's dark, surf for like an hour, take a shower on the beach and go to work. That's how committed you have to be to actually surf over here. And it's really rewarding for me. I always tell myself one wave a session is more than enough. Human beings are naturally hungry. You can frustrate yourself so easily. But once you have a mindset of actually catching one wave and having fun, and if you're thinking that one wave is like satisfying for you, you'd enjoy surfing more and more and more.
We talked with Mohammed not only about the surf community at large, but how Surf House became the epicenter for all those with a love for the sport and the lifestyle. He also talked about how that has been instrumental in building an ecosystem and subculture around surfing.
What Surf House did for the community of surfing, they made the community of surfing here. They brought boards, they brought surf lessons to the whole community, taught a lot of people how to surf, especially kids. Like, it's amazing what they do with kids. Take them out and like give them a board and push them on a small wave. I think it's like the best day of a kid's life. And yeah, they're really down to earth. Scott and Dan have been good friends of mine since I started surfing. And if I have a question about a certain thing in surfing, I ask them. They're doing a great job. And I think they're going to do a better job in the future as well.
Getting an inside track into the surf culture in the city has been nothing short of fascinating. As he reflected on the growth of Surf House, Scott used the word organic to describe the journey and how the idea developed into its current multidimensional form.
It started teaching surfing, then came products, getting equipment in for people, and then came the fitness training to go along with it, then trips as well, travel, and storage as well. So just all the bits that were facilitating the lifestyle, and almost the final like missing link to this whole kind of holistic view of a life by the sea was the nutrition part. Being like that active in the water, you're hungry a lot, and every 3 to 4 hours we were like, now what are we gonna eat, you know? And we wanted to eat healthy food. One of our house members, he had learned how to surf, then his wife had learned how to surf, then his kids were learning how to surf and paddleboarding and everything. He had actually already unofficially been involved by volunteering to make burgers at our movie nights. People were talking more about the burgers than they were about the movie. They were just like, oh, but those burgers. Like, Nasser knows how to cook, hey? And he came to us and said, hey, what do you guys think about doing something together in the way of a cafe? For us, it had to be like genuinely intertwined with what we were doing already. So the idea for the cafe was that the entire menu was going to be built, filled with dishes that you could find at the heart of famous surf cultures and communities around the world. In Hawaii, you've got the poke bowls. In Brazil, acai is synonymous with surf culture, and it has been for like decades. So Mad Max is his alias, Nasser Asarain. And yeah, he teamed up with us to create this single fin concept, and that was such a learning curve, all of a sudden just thrown into how intense and high pressured, even though it's a relaxed cafe, to make it relaxed means that it's got to be Nazi-like inside the kitchen.
Their coffee is pretty good. Food and coffee is absolutely amazing there. Every time I finish a surf in their next door beach, which is Sunset Beach, I just go down there, have a coconut water or something. Their vibe is very friendly. They're welcoming.
From where we are standing, it's not just a great idea or a thriving business. It is undoubtedly a movement. We hope you enjoyed this bonus episode. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back with a brand new episode of Tales of the Trade on the 23rd of October. You can subscribe to us in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Angami. Just search for Tales of the Trade wherever you like to listen. So many tales to be told, so many stories to be shared. So pull up a chair and join the conversation.